Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount. We've come this morning to Matthew 6, 11. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and in verse 11, we get to the fourth request in this Lord's Prayer: give us this day our daily bread. And I see three parts mainly to this request: the bread, the supplier of the bread, and the fact that it's daily. So that's our outline this morning. We'll call it the stuff, the supplier, and the schedule. Okay? We'll start with the stuff, bread. That bread is the only physical thing in this prayer. And most interpreters would agree that bread is shorthand here for all of our physical, temporal needs. Jesus isn't just saying, pray for bread, but don't ever pray for water or clothes or, you know. No. Pray for everything you need. Pray for everything you need, whether it be food or drink or sleep or shelter or eyeglasses or clothes or cars or cell phones or couches or earrings or iPods or hot tubs or televisions or video games or... Did I go a little too far there? Video games? Is Jesus teaching us here to pray for video games? I mean, bread and water, that's fine. But give us this day our hot tubs? iPods? I mean, God provides all our needs. He does not provide all our wants. But where do you draw the line between what is the definition of a need as opposed to a want? Which is which? If God will supply everything I need, what does that mean? Everything I need for what? Everything I need to stay alive? Is that all I'm... Honestly, that's not much. I could stay alive in a grass hut with a bowl of rice a day. Is that all God is promising me? Or is he even promising that much? You know, if God has promised to provide everything we need to stay alive, why do Christians die? All of them die, right? Why? None of us has everything we need to stay alive on the day that we die. You say, well, maybe it means stay alive, everything you need to stay alive until it's time for you to die. Well, then what's the difference between us and the non-Christians? Everybody stays alive until they die. So, God provides me with everything I need for what? For to do what? Everything I need to do what? Everything I need to be happy? Everything I need to have fun? What kind of need are we talking about here? I think there's only one answer to that question that will fit the Sermon on the Mount in the context of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching. A need, according to Jesus, is whatever is necessary to do his will and advance his kingdom. That's what we need. That's all we need. God will supply everything you need to carry out his calling. He'll supply everything we need to glorify him, everything we need to do the work of his kingdom, everything we need to please him. That's what he'll provide. If I need food and drink to do what's pleasing to him, he'll provide me with food and drink. If I need a car to do what he's called me to do, he'll make sure I have a car. And if I need to starve to death to accomplish his will, he will make sure I have the strength and courage to die for him when the time comes. He will give me everything I need to do his will. And when a Christian gets mugged or runs out of money or dies or starves to death, that is not an exception to the promises of provision. There are no exceptions for the Christian. God richly supplies us with absolutely every single thing we need to do what he calls us to do, even on the day that you die. That's our daily bread. The earthly stuff we need to do God's will. That's what daily bread means. There's no place for praying for for any earthly desire apart from what's needed to do God's will. So that's daily bread. You say, okay, fine. That's daily bread. But I still want to know, where do the hot tubs come in? I mean, are jacuzzis included in daily bread or not? Is it ever God's will for me to sit in a hot tub or go skiing or play a video game? I mean, should I pray for a job? Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I need a job to provide for my family. That's easy enough. That's obvious. A car? Yeah, I need a car to get to work. But what about a boat or an RV? Is that daily bread? What is the role of recreation and enjoying earthly pleasures when it comes to doing God's will? And I know that question came up a few weeks ago. And I told you at that time, I answered that question in a whole message titled Recreation, and you can get that on foodforyoursoul.net. The date is March 6th of 2009. So if you want the full explanation, you can go through that. But I thought that we really do need to go over a few of the principles here now, because we have to know how to pray for daily bread. And if we want to know how to pray for daily bread, we have to know what that includes. So let me just give you a quick summary, a kind of a biblical theology of recreation and earthly pleasures. Earthly pleasures exist. Why do they exist? Did God just put earthly pleasures on here to tempt us, or you know, to test, or what? Why are they here? Answer: 1 Timothy 6:17. Earthly pleasures exist to help us delight in God, to teach us how to delight in God, and assist us in doing so. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Command those who are rich in the present age." Command them to do what? To repent of being rich and give away all their money, give away their riches? No. Command those who are rich not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. God created enjoyable things to be enjoyed by His children. It's important that we enjoy them, because throughout Scripture, the presence of God is compared to all kinds of earthly pleasures. He compares Himself to food. He compares Himself to all kinds of things, all kinds of delightful things in this life He compares Himself to. How did that happen? Did God just say, how could I teach them about what it's like to be in my presence? Oh, what a coincidence. It's a lot like all those pleasures on earth. I'll just compare it to that. No, it's not a coincidence. The reason the pleasures exist on earth is because God created them the way He created them, so that they could serve as illustrations of what it's like to be in God's presence. That's the function of earthly pleasures. And so it's important that we enjoy them for that reason. God created earthly pleasures as samples of His delightfulness. We are to make all of our enjoyment, then, of earthly pleasures acts of fellowship with God, training to teach us how wonderful God's presence is. And we do that when the enjoyment of the earthly pleasure is not an end in itself, but is just a means to the end of enjoying God, having fellowship with God. So that's what earthly pleasure is for. It's for you to enjoy so that you can enjoy God. But that is a dangerous thing to preach. It's dangerous for me to stand up here and preach that because of James 5, which says, verse 1, "Now listen, you rich people," that's us, "weep and wail because of the misery that's coming upon you. Verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded your wealth in the last days. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter." I don't know about you, but I do not want to hear that on Judgment Day. How do you know when you've gotten to that point, when you've fallen into living a life of luxury and self-indulgence, and you've just gone overboard? How do you know when you've gone too far with earthly pleasures? James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." That's sin. That's wrong. We should not ever pray for stuff for our pleasures. So how do we know when our enjoyment of earthly pleasures is no longer the right kind of enjoyment of God, but has crossed the line over into just sinful hedonism? How do we harmonize 1 Timothy 6 with James 4? 1 Timothy 6:17, God richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. But then James 4, when you ask with wrong motives, you spend what you get on your pleasures, and that's wrong. How do we harmonize those? In my study of this, I found 8 principles for knowing when the enjoyment of an earthly pleasure has become a sinful luxury and self-indulgence. And so I'm just going to quickly just rip through these 8 principles real fast here, and if you want to flesh them out a little more, you can get that other message. But the first one is found in 1 Timothy 6:8. The first principle is this. You know that you've crossed the line into living in luxury and self-indulgence when you aren't content to live without that thing. Contentment. 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into a temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. So when you're seeking earthly pleasure, recreation, fun, anytime you find that you're not content without it, that means that fellowship with God alone isn't enough for you. You got to have that other thing too, which means you're not really seeking fellowship with God. You're not using that as a assistance to help you have fellowship with God. You're using that in addition to fellowship with God or instead of fellowship with God, and now it's an idol and it's no good. So anytime you find that you can't be content without that thing, you've crossed the line. Sometimes we have one definition for a word in our head, but a different one in our heart. The word need probably falls into that category as often as any other word. Do a heart check on yourself and ask, what's my definition of need? And you can tell by how you respond emotionally when certain things are lost or threatened. Talk to God about whether you need to make an adjustment to your definition of need. And number 2, is there any physical thing or earthly circumstance you've been praying for that you must have in order to be content? Take a moment to let go of that covetous desire.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.